Yes, Jessica Chase, and I am a curator with the County Museums.
Nice.
Yeah, so there you go. You've got my title.
No.
Yeah, Remembrance Day and Month of Remembrance. This is the second year, at least in a row, we've had remembrance exhibits, themed displays that have gone up over the years. But this is the second year in a row where we've had a, you know, consistent something happening during the month of November. And this year was really an opportunity for us to showcase pieces from another site, because across our five museums, we do not have a great collection of three-dimensional objects that have military focus or history. So we are using this as an opportunity to showcase another regional museum, the Hastings Prince Edward Regiment Museum, and the great collection that they have that talks all about the history of the Hastings Prince Edward Regiment. So we're excited to put those out for people to see. It's, of course, a variety of items, some uniforms, some medals, photographs, and, of course, one particular piece associated with a very well-known local veteran, George Wright, who passed away in 2018. And, of course, George Wright Boulevard was named in his honor. So having his V-42 stiletto knife on display for the month has been a real honor for us.
He was in the Devil's Brigade, right?
He was in the Devil's Brigade, yes. A local member of that very... I would say they're a famous group, a famous commando unit that I had sort of heard rumor of in my younger life, but certainly reading George Wright's autobiography, which spoke more to just like the intense training that they had done and just really to the realities of their work in the war, which I think, you know, a lot of things are always, you have dramatizations and things are not necessarily elaborated because their work, it was absolutely intense. But in terms of the fantastical nature, you know, sometimes when you have something that's been dramatized in a film, just really him bringing home the realities of warfare for their unit and for just the men overseas as a whole. I think it was a really moving book to read. So I highly recommend, if anyone can get their hands on a copy of George Wright's autobiography. It was published in 2005, but it was, of course, a self-published piece. So it's hard to find, but we have a copy on hand at the museum for the month. So if you're curious about it, please come and visit us before November 30th to take a closer look, a closer read, because I was really overwhelmed by the frank nature of George Wright's writing. You know, of course, he's not a writer by trade, so it's very much train of thought. It's, you know, it's very dense, right? Someone retelling their life story, but just very open and real about the experiences during the war. The idea of the sadness and the grief that soldiers were dealing with during, you know, right after a battle, having to, you know, you're surrounded by people that want to celebrate a victory, and yet all they want to do is go into their tent and cry, you know, about all of the friends, the comrades that they've lost. And this overwhelming sense of, the sense of camaraderie being, I think, what I really took away from that book. That, you know, George says multiple times in the book, he says, "War was hell, but I wouldn't have missed it." And World War II and the Great War, and I think all war, I mean, these are generation-defining moments. And certainly the men, children, that left Prince Edward County to fight in those conflicts and others, you know, they go seeking adventure, seeking opportunity, seeking, you know, something outside of this little island, right? They're looking for something different and not really understanding, comprehending what is awaiting them on the other side, and being forced to grow up very quickly. That was very evident in George's book. But I think that, you know, we're kind of living through our own generation defining moments now. You know, COVID has really defined a generation mentally and physically. But yeah, so when I think about our own experiences, not that it can be compared to wartime here, but at the same time there are parallels. So that was what I was seeing a lot while reading the book.
Do you think overall, considering we're going through a time of conflict right now, do you think is there anything different, or with the exhibit, or the messages you're trying to, or the stories you're trying to say, or is there anything you think you're, I know you kind of, as curatorial, anything message-wise you want to resonate?
I mean, certainly the way that the museums look at exhibit building now and the types of programs that we offer, you know, there's definitely been a push in the last 5 to 10 years as we try to tell a more inclusive range of stories, and really look to the narratives that have been silenced before. So look for what's not there and see what you can dig up and find, because we want to try and expose our community to all sorts of stories, right? The stories of people that have lived and worked in this area and traditionally not had a voice. So try and give them a voice and raise them up. And when it comes to something like Remembrance Day, or, you know, the month of November being a time to really reflect, I think that this gives us an opportunity to just practice once again, you know, just being a good, empathetic human. You know, the act of remembering the sacrifices of those that came before you is an empathetic act, right? The idea of feeling this kindness and gratitude in your heart for the deeds that were done by these incredibly brave individuals. But it's the same kindness and gratitude that we have to take, you know, going forward in every exhibit and program that we do. So this isn't, you know, something that's solely important for November and for November 11th in particular, but it's important just for all of us across the board, and to understand that in this incredibly difficult climate that we find ourselves in, to just be kind to one another, you know, and to understand that lots of people have things going on in their lives and difficulties that you can't see necessarily on the surface. And to just be open to hearing other stories as well, things that aren't necessarily your own story. But I think there's this common thread in the human experience, you know, whatever your ethnicity or cultural background or the issues that you faced in your life. I feel like COVID really, you know, awakened us to that as well. The fact that there is this common thread that binds us all. So just like we can all feel empathetic towards the experiences of soldiers during the Great War and the Second World War. But we can also feel empathetic to each other now, towards what we're all commonly going through. So yeah, hopefully this is representational of all the exhibits that we do now and how we feel as people on the museum staff.
Just one more specificity is, I saw there was a bit on the Indigenous military war experience as well. Do you plan on highlighting more of those types of exhibits in the future, like Indigenous Remembrance Day stuff?
It's very possible. We've already been thinking about, you know, future years, what subjects we might cover when it comes to the act of remembering, right? Because you do want to showcase, again, as many stories as possible. And there's so many veterans. And also not always wanting to highlight, you know, conflict. But, you know, there's all sorts of ideas. But yes, there were so many Indigenous veterans that participated in all of the conflicts of the last few centuries. And so many members of Tiendanega Mohawk Territory that were servicemen, part of the Hastings Prince Edward Regiment. So being able to tell some of those stories and highlight them would be frankly amazing. We mentioned a few individuals in our permanent Indigenous History of the County exhibit on a relatively permanent basis, but to go into more detail about those individuals' lives and contributions and sacrifice. I was lucky enough when I visited my great uncle's grave in Cesena War Cemetery, which is in eastern Italy. He is buried, you know, actually being part of a regiment that was based in Toronto, not from Hastings Prince Edward Regiment. But he's buried a few rows away from Huron Brant, who served as a member of the Hastings Prince Edward Regiment and was a recipient of the Military Medal, and also died, you know, within probably a few weeks of my great uncle, maybe a little bit after, but the fact that they happened to be buried in the same cemetery, you know, I was lucky enough to be able to pay my respects to him as well. But that really brought it home to me, the local connection, and also the contributions of the Indigenous community in Tiendanega. So something we'll probably definitely be covering more at length in the future.